Hello there and welcome again to Musings on Golf, where the 2023 Major Championship season may be over, but we sure have so many stories left to tell. My name is Kelly Elbin, along with my good friend Bob Bupka. We have a very busy podcast for you today. The two of us are going to take you on a journey as we look a little bit closer at the newest Open champion, Brian Harman, the champion golfer of the year. We've got a new segment we like to call Bupka's Best Stories that we're going to launch today. And we're also going to take a look back at the four major championships of 2023 and a quick look ahead to the 2023 Ryder Cup in a couple months outside of Rome. Bob, congratulations to Brian Harman. He was terrific last week against not necessarily a hostile crowd, but a crowd that wanted to see the likes of Fleetwood and Rory win. And every time he was challenged, Bob, he stood tall.
Yeah, and I think the thing that he loved the most was the fact that, he's barely 5 foot eight. And when he was told, boy, you are head and shoulders above everybody in the field, it made him feel real good.
I was so impressed by him. And as I watched it, Bob, over the weekend, when he had the big leads both days, I kept thinking about the Ryder Cup. But we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But it's that type of ability to make the big putts, to hit the big shots, and on foreign soil, which is exactly what he's going to be facing when he's part of the 12-man U.S. team in a couple months, trying to win the Ryder Cup for the first time in 30 years on foreign soil. In my opinion, it's exactly the type of player that Zach Johnson, who lives with him in Georgia in the same area, exactly the kind of player he needs.
I agree with that. And, Kelly, I mean, you had so many wonderful years at the PGA of America and being involved at the Ryder Cup. The one thing that's different, you're trying to be the champion golfer of the year, which is the highest award you can receive in the world of golf.
Yeah.
But now when we open the chapter on the Ryder Cup, you're not playing for yourself. You're playing for something far bigger. You're playing for the United States of America. So I don't take the analogy that, well, under pressure, he putted very well to win the claret jug. That does not mean automatically that he plays that well under pressure when the U.S. is at stake.
I agree with you on that completely. For you, Bob, having attended, more than 125 major golf championships and worked them, what stood out in from you watching Harman? I know you did a lot of reports for Talk Sport back in the U.K. over the 4 days. What impressed you?
What impressed me was Harman seemed to have a game plan, and he stuck to that game plan. You know, the real hazards at Royal Liverpool are those pot bunkers. When you add it up at the end of the week, he was only in two, and yep, one of them was the last hole of the day on Sunday. That is remarkable. You ask anybody, how do you play Royal Liverpool? Tiger Woods, when he won the last time he was here, he didn't go into one pot bunker. I mean, that is working your golf ball, having a tough plan, and sticking to it. A lot of times, other guys would drive it far enough to reach those fairway bunkers. Brian Harman's not a long hitter, so his drives were well short of those fairway bunkers, but he took full advantage of being a little shorter off the tee.
Yeah, and I know he is a very proud graduate of the University of Georgia, and Kirby Smart, head football coach at Georgia, has had a lot of success winning back-to-back national championships, and he follows Kirby very closely. And he understand he sort of followed a mantra of Kirby's, and that is, I'm not going to be hunted. I'm going to hunt. I'm going to be the one who's going to go out there and get it done. And, Bob, that's not the easiest thing to do, by the way, when you have a big lead. It's when you're trying to hunt somebody. But I think he sort of reversed that mentality to say, I'm just going to go out. It's almost as if I'm trailing or in the lead by a shot and just go after it.
I think that's a wonderful observation, Kelly, and that's exactly the way Brian played. He played every day like he was behind. And when you play that way, there's nobody going to catch you. So hats off to the mental toughness and obviously the skill with those golf clubs left an impression on golf fans around the world that will not soon be forgotten.
Well, and obviously the one statistic that really jumps out, making 59 of 60 putts inside of 10 feet, that will win you a lot of golf tournaments. But this was the Open, and for Brian Harman, the emotions that came with it, as you'll hear from this clip, were second to none.
Yeah, I'm over the moon. It was a tough last 3 days. It really was. Being able to get some sleep was big last night. Sleeping on a lead like that's really difficult. So glad of the way I hung in there the last couple of days, got off to a bad start both days, and turned it around. So really happy with that.
Yeah, and it was a struggle each day, Bob. Hardly a walk in the park, but you know, I'm sure he feels like he can win again, and he said as much.
Yeah, and of course we take a look at those bad starts. Having them at the beginning of the round, which is what happened with Brian, is far greater than if he just tees off on the back nine and makes a couple of bogeys, then he's you know, faced with, oh my gosh, I'm not going to have a good round today. He knew he had plenty of time to make up ground, and he certainly did that in grand fashion.
And Bob, as it so often is, and I know I struggle with this with my game, it's all about believing in yourself, and Brian Harman certainly had the belief to get it done.
You know, I've always had self-belief that I could do something like this. It was just, you know, when it takes so much time, you know, it's hard not to let your mind falter. Like, you know, maybe I'm not winning again. I'm 36 years old. Game's getting younger. All these young guys coming out, you know, hit it a mile and they're all ready to win. Like, when is it going to be my turn again? And it's been hard to deal with. I mean, I think someone mentioned that I've had more top tens than anyone since 2017. So that's a lot of times, like, where you get done and you're like, damn it, man. Like, I had that one. It just didn't happen for whatever reason. So, to come out and put a performance like that together, like start to finish, you know, just had a lot of control. I don't know why this week, but I'm very thankful that it was this week.
Hold on just a minute. I'm on the phone with Brian. Brian, just wanted to let you know, that Kelly Elbin experiences a lot of those same thoughts, and that prevents him from winning his $2 Nassau. Brian, tell Kelly, just keep on plugging. All right. I'm sorry, Kel. What were you saying?
$1 Nassau. Hey, Bob, by the way, I did win some money in one of the pools I entered over the weekend. So Brian Harman wasn't the only winner. But, you know, I know you want to talk a little bit about his putting, which was critical to his victory. He joins Bobby Jones, Walter Hagen, Arnold Palmer, Johnny Miller, and Tiger Woods as the only Americans to win the Open by at least 6 shots. And that putter, boy, Bob, it had so much to do with it.
Well, it certainly did. 106 putts, lowest total ever. Actually, Harman brought his putter back from the doldrums. He used a putting aid that is a mirror that shows the path of the putter as the ball is struck. Harman discovered he was cutting the ball without knowing it, so he started hitting a baby draw with his putter. Gotta believe, a few of those are going to be sold.
There will be, I would think, a lot of those. And Bob, those nuances can make all the difference in that. However he sees that as a, quote, baby draw out of putting. I'm not sure how many of us can relate to that. But for him, at that level, that amendment, that change, that was everything, wasn't it? Because so many guys can knock the ball on the green, but you got to knock the ball in the hole, particularly in big events like this.
It's quite remarkable. And the little sidebar that I get a chuckle with, Kelly, you know, on the bag for Brian Harman is trusty caddy Scott Tway, who happens to be the brother of Bob Tway.
Right.
Bob Tway won the PGA Championship back in the 80s. He made $140,000. Scott Tway caddying made over $300,000 this past week. What is wrong with that picture?
Woo. Yeah, Bob holed out at Inverness in 86 to beat Greg Norman that summer of that Norman would rather forget. But yeah, $3 million to the winner and $300,000 to his trusty caddy is nice. And speaking of that, I know that Dwayne Bach, who has caddied for Kevin Kisner for a long time, has been on the bag the last few weeks for Sepp Straka, who was tied for second at the Open Championship. And Straka, a bulldog much like Harmon, has begun to make a name for himself in a big way. He won a couple of weeks ago on the PGA Tour, tied for second at the Open Championship. This guy can really play, and he's going to be a force for the Europeans, although he's really Americanized in a lot of ways, Bob. He's going to be a force for the Europeans come Ryder Cup 23.
Yeah, and of course, we're speculating right now. We don't know what kind of arrangement Straka has with Dwayne Bach. If he's going to ask him to be his caddy, will Dwayne Bach take the job? I mean, he's been very loyal to Kevin Kisner. Kisner, his future is a little shaky right now, so a lot to be seen. But as we speak, there's a distinct possibility Dwayne Bach is going to be caddying at the Ryder Cup, although he'll be caddying for the other side.
Yeah, and he's certainly been a very good, if not luck charm, he's been a good charm for a couple weeks. I want to let everybody know that next week, Amanda Renner from CBS Sports, who does such a terrific job with the interviews and the post-round highlights, will be joining us as our featured guest on Musings on Golf. And Bob, we have a few more interesting stats from the Open Championship. But before we get to that, I just want to recognize Jack Lumpkin. Jack Lumpkin, longtime PGA golf professional, not only meant a lot to the game, but really the life of Brian Harmon. And Jack passed away last year, very distinguished, very honored PGA professional for many, many years. You've always had a great affinity for the role of the club professional, not just as the teacher, but as the mentor, the friend, everything that goes in with being a PGA professional. And somewhere, I know that Mr. Lumpkin was very, very pleased to see what his student was able to accomplish at the Open Championship.
Well, good point there, Kelly. When I think of Jack, I think of Harvey Pinnick, both legendary teachers. And both didn't try to overteach. Harvey's famous saying is he'd rather give his pupil a couple of aspirins rather than do open heart surgery. And I think Jack Lumpkin had a very calming effect on Brian Harmon. And there's little doubt, that Jack wasn't smiling this past Sunday.
Yeah, agreed. Before we get into a new segment, I just a few quick stats. Kyle Porter from CBSSports.com posted a couple of these. I thought they were fascinating. Seven different nations were represented among the top seven finishers at Hoylake. Again, reinforcing the global nature of the game. But how about this one that Kyle had? Bob, with the exception of the 2023 Masters, Rory McIlroy, over seven of the last eight majors, he has tied or beaten 97% of the field. That's 993 out of 1,019 competitors. He's beaten, but he's yet to win a major championship among those eight. Matter of fact, it's been a decade now. And then from an aggregate standpoint, very interesting, Scottie Scheffler, who did not win a major championship, had an 18 under par aggregate score for the four majors among those who made a cut. That was the best of anyone this year. Victor Hovland, who also didn't win, was second at 16 under. So, yeah, I get it, Bob. You want to win major championships. But even when you don't win, boy, it shows the level of consistently high play that Scheffler had, Rory had, and Hovland had.
Good point, because, true talent continues to rise. I mean, unfortunately for Rory, he just can't get it over that line in a major. I mean, when he won his fourth, Jack Nicklaus had the famous quote. He said, "This young man will have 15 majors before he's finished." Well, that was several years ago, and he's still stuck at number four. We'll have more Musings on Golf for you right after these words from our friends at Titleist.
When you make the best-performing golf balls in the world, Your biggest competition is yourself. And now the golf ball that sets the standard for every other has raised the bar again. New Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X are longer and more consistent with unrivaled control. Outperform with new Pro V1 and Pro V1X. Titleist, the number one ball in golf.
I had the pleasure of sitting next to Rory when I worked for the PGA of America when he won the 2014 PGA Championship at Valhalla. And to think that it would, that 10 years later, essentially, that he would still not have a major championship victory is one that almost, well, it belies the statistics in a lot of ways, but there's a lot to it. And he'll get it at some point. But boy, the competition is awfully hard out there. Now, there's a lot of competition out there, Bob, but there's only one Bob Bupka. I'm delighted to introduce Bupka's best stories. We're going to give you a chance each week to tell a story or two. And the one this week, or the ones, all emanated from a phone call you received from our friend Michael Bamberger, who was a guest of ours in one of the recent Musings on Golf. Bamberger called you, and what exactly did he have to say about your popularity over there, Bob?
Well, Michael's working the Open Championship, and my phone rings early last weekend, and he said, "Bob, it's Michael Bamberger," and I know Michael, one of the leading writers for Sports Illustrated, a very, very talented individual, and he says, "I got to share something with you, Bob." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "I got in my cab to go to the restaurant, and when the cab driver discovered I was from America, the first thing he asked me, 'Do you know Bob Bupka?'" And Michael said he was floored by that. But then he got out at the restaurant and he sat down. The owner came over to introduce himself. When he saw that I was from America, the owner of the restaurant says, "Do you know Bob Bupka?" So Michael called me on the phone from the restaurant. I got to speak to the owner. He was over the moon. And he said he's putting it up on the bulletin board. Kelly Elbin, Bob Bupka, anytime they come in, free drinks, free food.
Now, your name is always going to be ahead of mine when it comes to that, no matter where that may take place. But Bob, Talk Sport, 24-hour sports station throughout the UK. You've been with them more than 20 years. What did you tell me? You did something like 35 or upwards of maybe 40 updates during the week of the 4 days of the Open Championship?
Oh, yeah. It's a little bit difficult because, you know, it basically, when I sign up to cover a championship and when it's abroad, I'm working on a 24-hour clock. I sleep when I can. I eat when I can. But there's no regular schedule. But I got to be honest with you. One of the best things that ever happened to me in my life was getting an opportunity to be the voice of golf on the world's largest sports radio station. It's an honor that I carry with a lot of pride. And so appreciative. They're so talented on Talk Sport. It's like having Tiger Woods as a partner in a golf match. I mean, there's no way I can go wrong with the talent that they have over there.
Well, as we heard from the stories from Michael Bamberger, a very loyal audience, and it sounds like a lot of loyalty and fun among the staff there at Talk Sport. Bob, you got to tell him what happened in regards to, of all people, Lady Gaga?
Well, I'm about ready to file a report on Talk Sport. And the co-hosts that were on the air were Faye Carruthers and Perry Groves. They said, "Before we bring in Bob, let's give a listen."
Perry Groves had this one for someone else. And who better to speak to with his new theme tune on Talk Sport is the one and only Bob Bupka, Talk Sport's golf correspondent. Did you ever think that this would be your intro music, Bob?
Not in a million years.
Come on, Bob, you're all over Lady Gaga.
Oh, golly.
Now, Janice, who's with Bob, has also sent over a song that she created to be used as an intro for him. Let's take a listen to this.
Ooh, baby Bob.
So, Bob, you've got two theme tunes.
Boy, Kelly.
Oh, that's so good.
I had so much fun covering that open. I think when I get the paycheck, I may mail it back. No.
No. Don't do that. Don't get crazy. But you serve as a golf analyst, right? And that, so you do, and the hours are very unusual because of the time difference where you are in Houston to the UK. It's hours that they're tough, but I've got to think at the end of the week, it's more than worth it.
Oh, it's worth every effort. I'm honored to be on this station. I mean, they average 3 million listeners. 3 million to a radio station. I mean, but they're huge all over Europe. I mean, Janice and I both have experienced it ourselves when we go over there. If I say something, quite often the response will be, "Are you Bob Bupka?" I mean, just, you know, like asking, where's the nearest restaurant? Are you Bob Bupka? You know, where's the nearest men's room? Are you Bob Bupka? I mean, it's quite comical.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
Well, it is amazing, and I'm humbled by it. Believe me, it's highly unusual. Let's put it that way. I mean, probably falls into the category for 2 years, I had a hat contract to wear a hat. I think I'm the only radio announcer ever got paid to wear a hat.
Wait a minute. Go on. Why?
Why
in the world did you have a hat contract for doing radio?
Well, Town Talk Hats, based down south, somehow saw me at an event somewhere, and the owner calls me up and he said, "Would you be interested in wearing our hat?" I said, "Sure." And I think he said, you know, "We'll pay you $200 a week." This is like 15 years ago. So
that's pretty great. You said a lot more than sure, I was going to say, right?
I couldn't say yes fast enough.
Oh, great stuff. Okay, so we want to talk about the Ryder Cup for a little bit. But before we do that, let's just do a quick review, Bob, of the four major championships of 2023. John Rahm captures his first Masters in April. Brooks Koepka, who was right on Rahm's throat at Augusta, comes through and wins at Oak Hill for the PGA Championship in May. Wyndham Clark, let's be honest, surprised everybody, winning the U.S. Open at L.A. Country Club in June. And then, of course, Brian Harman really just taking control and not letting anybody back in the game in winning his first major title on Sunday. I'll go first here. For me, the most exciting major championship of 2023 by far was the PGA Championship, because not only did you have a winner who had overcome so many physical ailments in Brooks Koepka, but you had, frankly, the individual golf story of the year in Michael Block, the PGA club professional, who not only made the cut, not only got to be known nationally through time spent on ESPN and talking with the folks at CBS Sports, but then he goes out and throws out a hole-in-one into the hole on the fly, playing with Rory McIlroy in the final round. I'm not sure anything touches the PGA Championship for excitement and great storylines in 2023.
Well, it's certainly number one in my book. It was a great story, and it was a feel-good story. We were fortunate enough to have Michael on the air with us, and what a down-to-earth guy he is, and such a outstanding representative of the club professionals in this country and around the world. They do not get enough credit, but they are so important to anybody that plays golf. If they have a good relationship with their club pro, they're going to enjoy it even more. John Rahm, certainly no surprise with his talent to win the Masters. Wyndham Clark wins in L.A., U.S. Open, and Harman, now the Open man. So you got four majors. You got two won by certainly no surprises, and you got the other two by complete surprises. That makes for just a wonderful year of major golf.
And again, a reminder, next week, Amanda Renner from CBS Sports will be joining us here on Musings on Golf. And before we close, so we're going to be seeing all four of those guys at the Ryder Cup at the end of September, and then it concludes on October 1st outside of Rome. Bob, 30 years since the U.S. won there. We know that. It's going to take a lot of great putting from the U.S., and that's why I like the likes of Brian Harman, Gritty, et cetera. But you've also got, I mean, I think you have a very strong European team. I mean, let's be honest, the U.S. bounced them, really almost embarrassed them a couple of years ago at Whistling Straits. But if you look at the European lineup right now, you throw Sepp Straka in there, he's playing so well. John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Victor Hovland, Tyrrell Hatton, Tommy Fleetwood, Matt Fitzpatrick, Shane Lowry. And then you've got on the U.S. side, the issue with Justin Thomas, who's 6-2-1 lifetime with a Ryder Cup record, who is struggling, to say the least. And the U.S. team, I think, is good. But, boy, they better be on all cylinders as they try to break that three-decade lack of victory overseas.
Spot on, Kelly. And I'm already looking forward to it. It could boil down to one of the all-time great Ryder Cups, and we're all pulling a little bit for Justin Thomas. He's too good a player to be performing like he is now. I think the pressure of wanting to be on that Ryder Cup team is starting to get to him a little bit. He's a great friend of Zach Johnson, and why wouldn't you want an informed Justin Thomas playing for you? But he's going to have to turn things around here over the relatively short period of time we have left before the Ryder Cup.
And maybe it starts this week at the 3M Open in Minnesota, where he's in the field. Pretty good field there, actually. Again, Bob, this has been a lot of fun. Amanda Renner, looking forward to talking with her and all she's added to the broadcast for CBS Sports. She's really impressed me in so many ways, Bob.
Yeah, excellent talent. I remember when, first time I met her, she told me she went to Hofstra College on Long Island. So she automatically became a friend, very familiar with Hofstra basketball. And being from Long Island myself, Hofstra being on Long Island, good spot. Amanda, can't wait to talk to you.
Absolutely. Been a great week, Bob. Really got a kick out of this discussion. It was a lot of fun. And as I mentioned at the start, we have a whole lot more to look forward to, even with the major championships in the rearview mirror. Kelly Elbin signing off for my good friend Bob Bupka. Thanks for joining us on Musings on Golf.